From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Thousands of Puerto Ricans are continuing their protests in San Juan in front of the governor's mansion, demanding the resignation of Governor Ricardo Rosselló. For nearly a week, people have gathered en masse in spite of police attacks of tear gas and rubber bullets. Protesters are angry over leaked messages that were exchanged between Rosselló and some of his top aides denigrating the victims of Hurricane Maria. The messages also included a joke about shooting Carmen Yulín Cruz, the outspoken mayor of San Juan, and a homophobic joke about Puerto Rican pop star Ricky Martin. Although Rosselló has apologized and claimed to fire the staffers with whom he had the exchanges, Puerto Ricans remain adamant that he resign, saying that the disturbing messages were only the tip of the iceberg. My guest is Julio Ricardo Varela, digital media director for Futuro Media and founder of LatinoRebels.com, one of the top U.S. Latino media sites. He was formerly digital producer for Al Jazeera America's The Stream. His work has been featured in The Guardian, ESPN, The New York Times, Quartz, Le Monde, Univision, and Telemundo, and many other outlets. Welcome to the program, Julio.
Oh, I'm very happy to be here.
So first of all, let's talk about what has prompted these protests. As I said, these leaked messages, at least from the media coverage we're getting, the leaked messages were the sort of straw that broke the camel's back, and that Puerto Ricans have been very frustrated with their governor. Did these messages sort of expose what people already felt about the governor?
Well, yeah, this actually has been, it happened last Tuesday. When the first 11 pages of the Telegram, and Telegram being a chat, a group chat, so it's been over a week in the sense that the first 11 pages got leaked last Tuesday. Then last Wednesday, two of Rosselló's former administration officials, Secretary of Education and the administrator of federal health insurance, it handles federal health insurance for the island. They both got arrested by the FBI for corruption charges. Then last Thursday, more leaks came out, and these were the ones that were very sexist, very offensive towards political opponents, particularly former New York City City Council Speaker Melissa Mark Viverito, and also other political opponents. That was just, the language was just abhorrent. Then Rosselló has a press conference saying, well, I'm sorry, I'm not going to resign. I was relieving stress with this group chat. No, everyone was kind of like, okay, governor, like that's not working. There was people in his own party calling for him to leave. And then on Saturday morning, the amazing journalist at the Center for Investigative Journalism published the full Telegram group chat. So we were getting, journalists were getting, you know, 11 pages here, 12 pages here, and all of a sudden, Saturday morning, 889 pages. By Saturday night, two of Rosselló's administration officials, Secretary of State and the CFO, had resigned. He got rid of everyone else in the group chat. And then he said, well, I'm staying. So then the protests started happening. And the first real protest was Monday. That really, you saw incidents. There was a lot of people out there in the thousands. There were incidents of confrontation. Rosselló comes back out, does a 3-hour press conference on Tuesday. There's discussion that he's just sitting tight. He's being defiant. It's definitely creating political damage in Puerto Rico. Then the Wednesday protests. Estimates between 40,000 to 100,000 people, 100,000 people, largest protests in the history, people are saying, the history of Puerto Rico. And here we are, the statement again, Rosselló sends on Thursday saying, well, you know, some of these protests, yeah, people have a right, but I'm staying. The deeper issue here is not just the group chat. It's colonialism. It's the political class in Puerto Rico. I wrote a piece for The Washington Post that talks about how the political class, which is mostly white and male and privileged, has kind of been putting their interest way ahead of the Puerto Rican interest for decades. And I do think what you're seeing is a deeper, deeper frustration and outrage towards the political system in Puerto Rico. And Ricardo Rosselló has become the symbol of a deeper, deeper issue that the political system in Puerto Rico needs to be reformed and reformed quickly.
And how much of the of Rosselló's response to the recovery from Hurricane Maria illustrated the things that you were just saying, that people feel are deeply wrong with the political system?
Well, this is an excellent point. And what I wrote in the, not to go back to my piece, but one of the things that I'm hearing, and I'm talking to everyone on the island. I have people on the island covering the protests, but I have my contacts, my political contacts, journalistic contacts.
And I should mention, you are Puerto Rican, by the way, which I think
I am. Yes, I was born in Puerto Rico and I was raised there. And I've been covering Puerto Rico for years. But what I'm getting the sense of is that this is a huge credibility issue. So all the work, and if people need to remember, there was a lot of heavy lifting by a lot of Puerto Rican advocacy groups and politicians and allies to get some disaster relief funding, to increase it for Puerto Rico. And that happened earlier this year, and President Trump was delaying it, but eventually it got passed. What's happening now is the reality. If you thought that that was a problem for Puerto Rico to even get that aid, no one's talking. Like, Washington has literally shut its door to any, you know, anyone who has the interest, who wants to, like, lobby for Puerto Rico or talk about the need. And, you know, right now, President Trump, as predicted, it took him a while. I know he was talking about the squad a lot this week. But on Thursday, he basically sent his first series of tweets about how corrupt Puerto Rico is, which historically it has been. And it goes back to this point that, you know, the Puerto Rican political class has been accomplices, you know, they are accomplices of a colonial system that the American government has created. And so what we're seeing now is a complete, you know, failure of the Puerto Rican political system. And the people that are suffering are going to be Puerto Ricans on the island. That's why they're protesting. I honestly don't think right now, the way this is going, if Ricardo Rosselló continues to stay in office, the damage that he's doing daily for any relationship that the United States has with Puerto Rico and any political relationship or solutions, it's going to be, I don't think I'll ever, I think it's going to be the worst political damage in the history of Puerto Rico as a colony.
I actually want to bring up Trump's tweets on Thursday. This is what he said. A lot of bad things are happening in Puerto Rico. The governor is under siege. The mayor of San Juan is a despicable and incompetent person who I wouldn't trust under any circumstance. And the United States Congress foolishly gave $92 billion for hurricane relief, much of which was squandered away or wasted, never to be seen again. This is more than twice the amount given to Texas and Florida combined. I know the people of Puerto Rico well, and they are great, but much of their leadership is corrupt and robbing the U.S. government blind. Julio, several issues there. Of course, he has a huge problem with the mayor of San Juan, who's been an outspoken critic of him. If anyone is, if anybody in the political class has integrity, it would be Carmen Yulín Cruz, but he has lumped her in with the corrupt class. And of course, that figure of $92 billion is something that he made up out of thin air, right?
Yeah, Fred, the $92 billion is, you know, there's a, it's embuste is what we say, which means a lie in Puerto Rico. It, you know, I think the last thing I saw that $21, $22 billion was committed. Obviously, Puerto Rico needs a lot more to recover. So that's, but this is exactly what Ricardo Rosselló, this is why his not resigning is creating problems. Trump is now getting involved. We already saw what Trump has done to disparage women of color who are elected officials. Beating up on Puerto Rico is easy for Trump. You know, the other thing that people need to understand when they look at the points regarding someone like Carmen Yulín Cruz, she's also not that, you know, she is controversial on the island. I think American progressives here and see her in a light where she's running, you know, helping Bernie Sanders campaign or being on MSNBC. And actually what she did, she put Puerto Rico on the map, and there's a lot of things that she did. But at the same time, you know, she's getting attacked. She is a political opponent. there's still this question of the political class in general in Puerto Rico. It's like how up and up it is. And I know that that kind of plays into Republican claims about Puerto Rico being a backwards country and all that. But this is what colonialism has created. And I think that's very important that we've had people that have allowed this to happen. It is the level of resentment and anger that I have seen in Puerto Rico in my coverage in the last week. I have never seen it ever in my career. And I've been doing this for a while. So I think it's very important right now to realize that Puerto Rico is going to figure this out. And Ricardo Rosselló, politically, the best thing he can do for Puerto Rico right now to stop the bleeding is to leave. There's no other recourse for him, not even close.
So Ricky Martin is one of the faces of the protests. You know, of course, he is Puerto Rican. He is a very famous pop star, and he was personally named in the controversial messages. And he has now come to the island and is among protesters. And on Thursday, one person in the among the crowds asked him a few questions on camera, and this is what Ricky Martin had to say.
We're tired of the cynicism. They put down women. They put down the LGBT community. People with disabilities. Corruption. It is insane. We are tired. We can't take it anymore. I do live in America, but I have to come to Puerto Rico to let the world know that we will make a change when Puerto Ricans get together and we do it in orderly. We can make amazing things happen, and that's why we're here today. He's gonna listen to us. We just can't take it anymore. Puerto Rico has suffered enough, and it's pretty much barbaric what he's doing. We're tired, and we're angry.
We're tired and we're angry, says Ricky Martin. Julio Ricardo Varela is my guest. He's the founder of LatinoRebels.com and has covered Puerto Rico for many years. Does Ricky Martin's face being part of these protests really indicate how widespread the sentiment is inside Puerto Rico?
Yes. There's a lot, you know. The global hashtag Ricky Renuncia, which means Ricky resign. I mean, that's the Ricky.
Applies to the governor, yes.
Yeah, but the thing is, Ricky Martin, the other Ricky in this political drama, is definitely winning this debate. One of the things about him is that he definitely transcends generations. Because he's been around for so long. I mean, he was in a boy band in the 90s, and you know, and he has been part of Puerto Rico for decades. So to see people like him, to see people like Residente, Calle 13, Bad Bunny, Benicio del Toro, the actor who doesn't really get political at all, what I can tell you is that even Ricardo Rosselló's most ardent conservative pro-statehood supporters are angry at him. And I've gotten enough reporting and enough feedback from people on the island, very trusted sources, people in my inner circle. I mean, the thing about Puerto Rico, we're an island, everyone knows each other, so you know what they support. There has been, I mean, I've gotten countless of calls. I have yet to hear one real defense of the governor. So that's the part where people see like a tone deafness. So what's happened is you see these protests and then the governor will come out with a statement and be like, "Ah, I respect the right for people to protest. Some of them were violent. That shouldn't happen. But guess what? I'm still staying." It's like the breakup has already happened, Governor Rosselló, and the Puerto Rican people do not want you. And he's kind of feeling like the jilted, you know, ex-partner who doesn't want to leave the house. And it's going to get messy. And hopefully what I really, really, really hope is that nobody loses their life over this. Because we are doing this because of a group chat and because of corruption. Puerto Rico will survive a governor leaving. His political egoism and arrogance is incredibly clear. And he needs to go.
So if you mentioned that, you know, that you were worried about people losing their lives, what has been the role of the police? On Monday, when the big stage of protests began, police, we saw, were firing rubber bullets and tear gas into crowds. Yeah. Have they pulled back in the ensuing days?
No. I mean, what they're saying, and, you know, this is the part you need to understand. It's like, I'm not trying to disparage the work of the Puerto Rico police, but it has a history of not being truthful. And there's been justice, Department of Justice investigations and police reform. What we know and what we can tell is that a very small group of intense protesters, whether, you know, their claims that Molotov cocktails were thrown on Wednesday night, their claims that fireworks happened. But then, you know, you have the problem is like, this is, we are literally watching clips and Facebook lives and Twitter lives of things that are happening, and everyone's kind of looking. But what we can say, and with my reports, with my reporters on the ground in San Juan, is that yes, rubber bullets have been used. Yes, tear gas has been used. One of my correspondents, Natalia Rodriguez Medina, she was there Monday. She got gassed.
Wow.
She on Wednesday she told me, she texted me, the cell phone service was awful, but I was able to get some texts from her. She told me this was aggressive in terms of how it was exciting, but yet there were still aggressive people there. It was a large crowd, and you have to understand, Viejo San Juan, Old San Juan are old colonial streets. So when you fill it up, when you think about 40,000 to 100,000 people, there's no place to move. There's a lot of tension. And most of the things that happen have happened late into the early, you know, late at night or into the early morning hours, midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, where most of the protesters have left. But there's still questions. I mean, there was a report that burglars took ammunition from a police barracks. Who knows? Like, who knows who did that?
Wow.
And this is what I'm saying. This is about it's about corruption. It's about preferential treatment. It's about problems that can be solved. This shouldn't be a life or death situation because a governor is too arrogant and too egotistical to admit that he messed up and people are not accepting his apology. And the will of the Puerto Rican people say, we need someone else.
So if he were to resign, what would be the next step?
Well, what needs to know is that according to the Constitution of Puerto Rico, and this is the key step here, the Secretary of State is sort of the second in command of the island. He is not an elected official. He needs to get chosen first. He or she needs to get chosen first. And basically what we're saying, what the pro-statehood party is saying, or my sources are saying, is once that Secretary of State is nominated and named, then Rosselló would resign and that Secretary of State would become governor of Puerto Rico, part of the pro-statehood party. The problem is, who wants to be governor of Puerto Rico right now? Like, who wants to do this? Ricardo Rosselló has demolished any sense of credibility. Everyone in his party is angry, and rightly so. There's an investigation happening that the House, Puerto Rican House of Representatives, has begun. You know what? But at the same time, I believe that Puerto Rico, as crisis-like as this is, life will go on. But I do think that the deeper issue of people trying to change the political system to raise the issues of colonialism and classism and years of just complicitness between the political class and Wall Street and the debt crisis, that this is deeper. And like I said, the Rosselló resigning won't solve anything. But I think the awareness of the relationship, the colonial relationship with the United States, like this has taken the Band-Aid off the wound.
There was a poll just this week. You've referred to the pro-statehood folks. There was a poll on statehood for Puerto Rico showing that 2/3 of Americans support Puerto Rico becoming a state. But what about within Puerto Rico itself? Because, of course, that's what matters more than anything else. And how does that fit within these protests? Is that an issue that is raised during these protests?
No. This is not an issue. The statehood movement right now, because it's a pro-statehood party, is right now has stopped dead in its tracks. Mm. This is not going to be an issue that people are going to talk about. And I know I say that, and I'm sure people in Puerto Rico who see this might call me whatever they want to call me, because, you know, everyone's status is sort of like the third rail topic in Puerto Rico. But when you have a governor that has actively pushed for statehood, and now he's been instantly embarrassed and tainted, and his entire political career is over, it doesn't have that appeal. I don't think anyone's going to pay attention to statehood. I think what you're going to see is issues of the debt crisis, issues of federal aid, issues of income inequality, issues of race, social justice. There's a lot more that I think is focusing on Puerto Rico. And to just turn this into a statehood debate would be an injustice for the 3 million Puerto Ricans that are out on the island now, and many of them who are protesting.
Finally, Julio, what do you suggest for those people on the mainland who are concerned, who want to express solidarity with the people of Puerto Rico, what they can do? Are there members of Congress they can lobby, bills they can support, or other ways to express solidarity?
Yeah, you know, I put my journalist hat on, and what I can say is, you know, not to advocate, you know, don't take this as like I'm advocating or just, so that's my disclosure. But I do think people need to stay informed. I mean, there's plenty of mainstream outlets that are down there now. I mean, we've been down there. We've never left Puerto Rico, Latino Rebels. We've been covering Puerto Rico for 7 years. We're publishing every day. We have people on the ground. But there's also places like The Times, CBS News, NPR, CNN, NBC News. They're all down there now. So you're going to start seeing more stories. But I think it's really important to think about this is not just about a group chat. So if you really care about Puerto Rico, calling a Congress member, looking into Puerto Rican advocacy groups on the mainland, stateside, are important, because I think there's this perception in Washington that, you know, Washington doesn't care for Puerto Rico. And if Americans on the stateside really want to help, shining a light on Puerto Rico, but it's okay. It's okay to call it a colony. Like, it's okay to admit that this history has not been good for the United States of America. I think we have to have more honest discussions about Puerto Rico, and I'm hoping that this Ricky Renuncia movement is going to lead to a deeper conversation.
I want to thank you, Julio, so much for joining us today. We'll post a link to latinorebels.com as well as to your Washington Post article from our website. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
My guest has been Julio Ricardo Varela, Digital Media Director for Futuro Media and founder of LatinoRebels.com, one of the top U.S. Latino media sites. We've been discussing the ongoing political turmoil in Puerto Rico. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, subscribe to our video channel on Vimeo, and find our audio podcast on iTunes and now Spotify.